Welcome to the Outdoor Dream Jobs podcast. I'm Allie Carr.
And I'm Jenna Selmer. We run Basecamp, an online community of more than 18,000 outdoor industry insiders who share jobs, industry contacts, and advice. And we have been speaking to so many HR managers recently and getting extremely great insight into the industry, what brands are seeking, and we're really learning how to provide great feedback to both job seekers and hiring managers. So we could not be more excited with the resources and networking opportunities we're going to be able to bring our community in 2021.
Yes, if you're an HR manager or a recruiter, please get in touch with us. We have our email address in our show notes, which is at outdoordreamjobs.com. And you can also contact us via Facebook, of course. You know, if you work with an outdoor brand that you think might benefit from being connected with us, please let them know. We'd love to collaborate with y'all.
Yes, absolutely. Send them our way via the Facebook group or email. That would go a long way for us. If you wanted to do an email introduction, we would love it. And today we're speaking with someone very fun and high energy, Doug Thielen, who is the director of marketing for Filson. He tells us all about two open positions on their creative team and what it's like to work for a 123-year-old startup, which he explains how that's possible. But it's a great interview, and we'll get to that right after the five very intriguing jobs that are hiring right now.
Absolutely. First up, we have a job at Knowles in the Pacific Northwest, also where Filson is. This job is Pacific Northwest director for Knowles. So they are looking for a director of their entire operation there in the Pacific Northwest. And it's a pretty cool position because you would be the location leadership and management overseeing all sorts of operational things like the staff structure, the logistics, the program scheduling, content, curriculum. I mean, you'd have your hands in absolutely everything. Also planning physical construction of the school, doing public relations. I mean, you're not doing all of these things 100%. You know, you'd be doing each of these things up to a certain level. But basically, you'd have your hands in almost everything. And there's really no better place for outdoor education than a beautiful place like the Pacific Northwest. If you're interested in Knowles and interested in acting at a high level within Knowles, this could be a great position for you.
Yeah. And another great organization hiring is POW, Protect Our Winters, and they're located in Boulder, Colorado. But this position does have remote possibility, which we're pretty stoked about. If you don't know Protect Our Winters, they are an organization created to advocate for mitigation of climate change. They're an amazing team. Their board is absolutely stacked. The athletes and influencers they work with are absolutely incredible, and they do great work. They get policies advanced that really protect the places that we all love to play and protect. And the precise job available is VP of Strategic Communications and Marketing. So that's a pretty big one. They're reporting directly to the executive director, and they're going to be really in charge of strategy and really all of the departments and a huge team. So this is a 7-year or more experience level position. And you're going to be, like I said, you're going to have a lot of responsibility, but you are going to be directly impacting some really important things. If you care about the climate, if you care about getting outside, this might be a great position for you.
Yeah. And I love that you can be remote and working for such an awesome organization and be at such a high level. It seems like a dream job right there. Mm-hmm. The next position we have is at Garneau, which they're pretty well known for their cycling goods, although they also make apparel for other sports. And this job is in Newport, Vermont. So Northeast position here, and they are looking for a graphic designer to work in their custom department. So they get custom orders from customers, and this person would be the liaison between the custom sales representative and the production department to make sure the production department is creating the artwork that the customers have delivered to or worked with for their products through Garneau. So kind of an interesting, unique position, but so many brands are white labeling product right now. And that's what white labeling is. It's when you have a third party ordering a custom product. So this would be a good position for a lot of other brands, you know, at least to have this as a stepping stone on your resume.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The next position is a ton of positions. It's actually more of a program that we wanted to talk about. It is through the National Park Service, and it's called Scientists in Parks Program. The application is open right now for positions really across the U.S. There's one in Alaska at Denali National Park. There's one that I have up right now in Dry Tortugas National Park. So it's a huge, huge, vast description of what you would actually be doing. Each site has a different role in particular, but what we liked about this program is it gets you into the national park doing things outside in really important areas of science. So you're on fact-finding missions for the most part. But the pay is what I will say is reasonable. They oftentimes give you a weekly stipend as well as paying for housing and food. So that's a really cool opportunity and a really great way to get your foot in the door without having to stress about housing costs and things of that nature. Basic needs are met. But also you don't need any crazy experience. A lot of them say, you know, basic knowledge of biological processes and things like that are great, but there's not requirements for PhDs or things of that nature. So something to look into for sure.
Sounds great. And the last job we have today is at Snowpeak, and this is a digital merchandising assistant role in Portland, Oregon. And they are looking for somebody who can do a lot of data analysis and reporting and kind of keeping track of all sorts of information from their digital presence, looking at new product information to get that set up in the website, item tracking, and looking at behavior from customers through Google Analytics. So if you're really into data and organizing it and analyzing it, then this is a role for you. It's paid hourly, so it's $19 to $23 per hour, but they are looking at this as a full-time role. So know that you would have 40 hours per week at $19 to $23 per hour.
Awesome. So those are our jobs, but now we have a very engaging and uplifting interview with Doug from Filson. Doug, can you introduce yourself? Let us know who you are, where you are, and who you're working for these days.
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Doug Thielen. I'm the director of marketing over at Filson, based in Seattle, right where we started back in 1897, and have been continuously operating and manufacturing goods for those who find adventure in the outdoors.
That sounds really intriguing. Can you tell us a bit more about Filson, what you do, what your mission is?
Yeah.
What makes you stand out?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we've been around since 1897, and you know, a lot of folks will ask, like for real? Like, have you really been operating since then? And we have. We started off outfitting those who were headed to the Klondike Gold Rush, and as that started to change as time went on, C.C. Filson and his wife and their company, they began to outfit those kind of working in the woods of the Northwest as that industry grew. And as time continued to move on, as a solver of problems and an outfitter, he pivoted and they pivoted their business to be one of outfitting those who made their living in the outdoors, be it through adventure or through work or through play. We are a 123-year-old plus brand, yet we refer to ourselves as a startup. And I recently had someone say, well, that can't be a thing. You can't be a 123-year-old startup. And for us, it really is a mentality. Like how we have approached the business, the culture, type of people that are attracted to working at Filson is one of a 123-year-old startup. So it does sound like an oxymoron, but I assure you it is a very real thing for us.
That sounds like the best of both worlds, frankly. And I know that you are director of marketing, so you're on the creative team, but basically what you're saying is that every department and everyone on the team is pretty innovative and flexible.
Absolutely. It's one of our core values is, you know, creativity and adaptability. It's a relentless, demanding place that really values hard work and high expectations, but it's highly rewarding. And kind of the startup nature of the business really is in that kind of all hands on deck. Everyone is bought in. Everyone feels invested in seeing this thing grow and work together. And yeah, on the creative side of the business, with, you know, as the director of marketing reporting into our chief creative officer, Alex Carlton, who is one of the most creative people I've ever had a chance to work with. He's inspiring in terms of always looking for us to be dynamic and find new ways to engage our existing customers, but at the same time, introduce ourselves to people who don't know Filson. It's surprising when I tell people I work at Filson. There's like one of two reactions. Either there is the, oh my gosh, let me give you a 5-minute story about why I love the brand and how I have known about it and the history with it. Or the very deadpan look of folks go, I've never heard of that. And so, and there seems to be very little in between, which is a bit of a marketer's dream. It gives me and my team the chance to really have opportunity to bring new people into the fold, to introduce them to the history of Filson and the legacy and heritage that we have, while at the same time being firmly focused on the future and, you know, honoring the past, but also not being beholden to it.
Wow. And your job title is pretty juicy, Director of Marketing. Can you tell us what that looks like, what you do for the brand? And then we'd also love to know how you broke into the outdoor industry.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I have the pleasure of working with a really amazing team. I lead our public relations, content, social experiences or events, catalog strategy, and then work closely with our e-commerce team as well. And then I would say, like, as a kind of startup mentality, everything in between. What I love about Filson is, and a lot of brands of our size, is when I am interviewing and talking with people about potentially coming to work with us, I say, you know, it's the type of place where if you looked up and you saw a leak in the roof, someone's going to hand you a hammer and a shingle and say, cool, go fix it. And either that is exciting to you and you get energy from that, or you're like, yeah, that's not for me. And so for me, that is something that I really enjoy. I love the opportunity that, yes, there's your job that's on paper and what's expected of you and your support of your team and those around you and your coworkers. But because we are growing in the size we are, there's opportunity in plenty of areas to ask questions and say, well, who's working on that? Have we ever thought about that? And most often people will go, that's a great question. You want to work on it? And you have that ability to have ambition and drive and really see your actions tied to the impact.
That reminds me of tech, totally a startup mentality. And so how did you break in though? Like, is this the first outdoor brand that you've worked for?
Prior to Filson, I was at REI and had the chance to work with the amazing team and people over there on some incredible campaigns, everything from Opt Outside to Force of Nature, some of my favorite things I've had a chance to work on. Prior to that, I was at an agency in Colorado and was actually brought on to work on the Mountain Dew account on a project with Lil Wayne, which was incredibly exciting, circa 2012. But I actually got a chance to work on Native Eyewear, and that was my favorite account by far. No offense to Lil Wayne or Mountain Dew, but I really
looking that up right now. I'm gonna watch whatever you made.
Yeah, if you look up Dew Weezy, there's an entire documentary. Dewezzy that ran on MTV. And so, yeah, that was incredible and fun. And one of those things where you're like, how did I find myself doing this? This is great. But as someone who grew up spending their summers in the outdoors, camping and hiking with my family every winter, you know, going skiing with my sister and my dad and my mom, the outdoor industry was something that was always there as something that was a goal of mine. And so while working with Mountain Dew was incredibly cool, I had a personal passion for working with Native Eyewear and the team that was there in Colorado at the time and working on a project called the Locals Only Project. And that was really my first foray into the outdoor industry. And I haven't really turned back since, and I don't see myself ever really leaving. I love the community. I love how it has grown and the economic impact that the outdoor industry has. And I love that it has a chance to not only do good, but do good for people, do good for the environment, and have a chance to be an active force, which I feel like has been a big change, really led by brands like Patagonia and REI in the last 5 years, how they're talking about their role in kind of all of it.
What is it like to work at Filson in terms of perks, in terms of your building, your region of the US, which is in the PNW? What's it like? What's a day like there?
Yeah, well, days today are very different than they were like for everyone, you know, a few months ago. But hopefully in the near future, we'll have a chance to get back to our incredible headquarters. One of the things I love most about the physical space that our building is, our offices, is that when you walk in from a customer perspective at the main floor, you are greeted by one, a custom shop where you can customize all these unique pieces of your gear from patches to lettering. But right next to that are these big glass windows that look into our manufacturing. What a lot of people don't realize is that we still manufacture a majority of our products that we sell, from our bags to our jackets. jackets, and you could see the craftsmen and women building those products right then and there. One of the first things you do when you come on at Filson is you have a chance to tour the facility and see every step of how something is made and the handmade nature of it. And for me, it was kind of an eye-opener when I first started to walk through that. And we live in such an automated world where we see a thing, we want a thing, we click a thing, and it shows up at our house, and it's this wonderful thing that we have now. But to see, you know, how it starts off, you know, on a roll, and how it comes out and gets stitched, and how it gets hand done from one person to the next, was it really puts it in perspective, kind of the work those folks are doing. And that's the first thing you see when you walk into the building. And as you head up the stairs to our flagship retail space, it's really like nothing else. It's hard to describe. And I've said that to a number of folks before who've never been in. And I feel like they're kind of go, yeah, sure. That's what everybody in retail says. And then they actually have a chance to see it. And it's this incredible, it almost feels like a lodge when you're inside of it, and it's got amazing artifacts. We have this trellis that was used originally by Boeing to hang fuselages from. It's this massive multi-ton piece of beam and wood that is there, kind of the center point. And then we have a massive fireplace that's working, and it's so big that we've actually worked with chefs like Eric Donnelly to come in and cook full meals for people in our flagship spot. And so it's really unique in that way. And then to the side and kind of above that is our office, which is great to be able to be connected to the retail manufacturing space every day. When you come into work, it really helps kind of ground you in what we're doing and why we're doing it. And so having that chance to see that, and honestly, like, you get a great discount, you know, lunchtime rolls around, you know, it's not uncommon to see your fellow coworkers perusing the latest gear on the floor. So it can be slightly dangerous from a wallet perspective, but it's actually really fun to be able to be in a space.
Yeah, that's what I remember from visiting the Filson headquarters, is that when you walk in, you kind of get a glimpse of like the factory, like in action somewhere right there. Yeah. And it's so beautiful. The whole building has this really industrial, beautiful feeling that really actually feels like it goes right through to the brand's clothing. I mean, it's amazing how well they blend together.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's really interesting to see it all. And the visual merchandising team that we get to work with, they're just magicians in terms of how they bring the brand to life and change up the space, you know, every few months to give it a new feeling while still staying core to who we are.
Now, what is one of your favorite memories from working at Filson? Maybe something, I don't know, how long have you been there?
So in January, it'll be 3 years.
Okay, so you were there pre-COVID.
Yeah. Pre-COVID, yeah.
Because that's changed a lot of work environments, obviously. So yeah, fill us in on what one of your favorite memories is from working there.
Oh, that's a great question. There's so many. You know, I think I'll go with two. It's always hard to pick one. We do an incredible, and still do, but pre-COVID, we do an incredible amount of events and experiences. And I think in 2019, across the country, we did over 300, which is a lot for a brand of our size. And those scale from everything from really small, intimate how-to experiences and events where we teach people a skill to bigger, you know, several hundred to 1,000 people concerts. At our flagship or at breweries or different places. And one of my favorites is we do every fall a Sportsman's Expo where we bring in different vendors, makers, experts, and we have a series of classes and how-tos where people can come in and learn. They can meet the people behind different brands from not just Filson makers and things of the Filson product perspective, but all across the board from different people we work with. And there's food, there's music, coffee, you know, it's just this really high energy event that kind of blends a lot of information and education and entertainment at the same time. And it's fun to see the kind of the large swath of people who come in. You have your folks who have been wearing Filson and loving Filson for years, and then you have people who are new to the brand. And to me, it's a really good snapshot of the folks who find themselves, you know, a fan and customer of the brand. And then the second would probably be, because it's always hard to pick one favorite. This year, we got the chance to work with Bronco, and when they re-released the new Ford Bronco that came out, and it was unveiled this summer. And we worked with the National Forest Foundation and Bronco to unveil a one-of-a-kind Bronco that was built and inspired by raising awareness around wildland fire prevention. And we unveiled the Bronco, had a press event, and then actually brought it to the flagship in a COVID-safe manner where people could come and check it out. And to see the iconic Forest Service Mint Green on a Bronco vehicle that was adorned in Filson materials and fabrics. And then knowing that we were working with Bronco to plant over 1 million trees and restore 3 fire tower lookouts over the next couple of years. It was one of those like moments to have kind of the epitome of all the things, a great partner, a great cause, and just a fun factor that our customers really got to engage with.
So I think it would be interesting to hear how a partnership like that comes to be. I mean, did you approach them? Did they approach you? Was there an existing relationship there? I think for marketing folks listening, that could be some interesting insight. I know I'm curious.
Yeah, it's a good reminder to always check your LinkedIn messages. Which is something that I'm not and hadn't been great at. And I, to be very honest, and it was something where the brand manager over at Bronco had reached out on LinkedIn. And then we connected over email and it started with a conversation on the phone early October 2019. Out of the gate for us, we knew there was something potentially that could be interesting because as we went through and did some of our brand development work and understanding who our customer is and who we're finding and who we're targeting, the typical kind of marketing exercise, you know, we continue to come back to Bronco as something either people that bought and shopped at Filson drove or wanted to drive, or they held as an icon of kind of like, yeah, that feels right. And when Alex and I flew out to Detroit to see the Bronco for the first time, that was one of the things kind of on their vision board. They talked a lot about Filson. And so out of the gate, the two of us had some commonalities, both in terms of who their customer was and what they used. But what really got the project moving and where things got really interesting, from in my opinion, was out of the gate, we did not want to do the easy thing. We didn't want to just go, well, cool, let's just slap a logo on it, paint it green, roll it out there, and call it Filson. We really wanted it to be rooted in something shared, in having a shared value and having something that we both could look at and go, well, this makes sense for both brands. This makes sense for both brands' customers. And we started digging into like, where would this go? What could this look like? And there's a lot of different paths we thought about, but where it really kept coming back to was the Forest Service. So in the 1940s, Filson's Mackinac Cruiser was a part of the official Class A Forest Service uniform. And then when the Bronco was released in the late 60s, it became the vehicle of choice for a number of different departments, you know, especially though in the Forest Service. And you can still see some of those iconic mint green Forest Service Broncos rolling around both in the international forest as well as, you know, on the street. And so as we started noodling on that and thinking about, well, how do we bring this to life? At Filson, we've worked with the National Forest Foundation for a number of years now across a lot of different projects. And it was one of those, it was a natural tie to bring them to the table and say, well, what would this look like together? As we started to kind of build a vehicle to raise awareness, but also have some action behind it. How would we go out and take action and work to help plant trees in areas that were needed reforestation that had been kind of devastated through natural disaster, both wildfire as well as, you know, floods and rain and other things. So over the course of the year, yeah, it was a conversation that continued to be rooted in a shared history, but also this place of like, where do we want to go together?
Interesting. So check your LinkedIn messages again.
Yes, absolutely.
The key takeaway there, but also create a marketing plan that has shared value, which actually brings it to a level of authenticity and transparency for what the brand cares about.
Totally. And I think to Bronco's credit, and I would say to the Filson team as well, I think it wasn't, sometimes you'll get those messages like, hey, let's do something. And it's like, okay, well, yeah. What? Yeah. It's like, you tell us. And it's like, oh, okay. What I thought was great was out of the gate, there was a really strong working relationship with the Bronco team. And they had ideas and they weren't afraid to share them and have us react to them. And we weren't afraid to go like, yeah, that feels right, but that doesn't.
Yeah.
And have early on kind of open and transparent conversations. And it felt truly collaborative in terms of what we were all throwing into the pot together to mix up and create a good, nice, you know, chili.
Yeah, that's great. So don't be afraid to speak up and share your ideas and collaborate. I love that.
How about a little bit about your diversity initiatives? What is Filson doing to make not only your organization, but the industry more equitable?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's something that's a topic of conversation that we're continuing to have at Filson. It's a conversation that really got brought to light this summer. Mm-hmm. And it's one that to say that, you know, proud to see Filson stand up and take initiative and accountability and say we haven't necessarily been as great at this as we should be. And we have to continue to get better. From my team specifically, we have, you know, made an effort not only to be aware of the people we showcase in our creative, but also who we're hiring. And understanding, you know, yes, it may be easy to go to the person we have always used, but as we look to work with new creators, photographers, writers, making sure that we are featuring and working with an inclusive group of people across the board. And we have worked and teamed up with our HR department to build a committee to help talk about that and figure out different ways through all touch points of the brand. To make sure that it's a conversation that isn't just something that takes place in a moment, but it's something that we continue to work on.
Great. That sounds wonderful. And on that note, you're hiring.
So we are.
Could you tell us a little bit about the positions and please include salary if that's known?
Yeah. So we have two positions that we're hiring for right now, which is incredibly exciting. The first position is a senior marketing manager of social media and content strategy.
Which is a dreamy role.
Dreamy role. Long title, dreamy role. There are some big shoes to fill, I will say. The woman who was leading this role for us was fantastic and is headed to take a career pivot and go back to school to enter the medical field, which is really exciting for her. Very sad for all of us because she was phenomenal. So big shoes to fill in that role, but I'm sure we'll find an excellent candidate to step up and do that. And the other role is a digital marketing coordinator who will be reporting into that senior manager role to help in all things social and content. So right now they will be based in Seattle, but they will be, as of right now, we aren't heading into the office. So they will be based in Seattle, but remote, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. for the initial time being. Though with the hope, though, as things return to some sense of normalcy over the course of the next year, that we'll be able to have that person at our headquarters.
Sure. If you don't mind digging into each role a little bit and telling us a little bit about what skills somebody might need to have to really excel at them, but what they would be doing day to day and just a little more information about the role, and then also include what stage of career somebody would be a good fit for.
The senior manager is someone who really has a strong sense of both content production as well as social, and the two and how they work so well together. What I will say too is that what the role isn't, sometimes that's just as important as what it is not a content producer role. So we aren't looking for, you know, someone who is great with the pen and the written word, or someone who is amazing photographer or a content creator. That's not this role. We have two people who are content producers who take photos, write stories, work with our content contributors to track down and source imagery, photo shoots, stories for the journal. This role, the senior manager role, will actually lead that team and will work really closely with our other creative partners, saying that essentially it's like, not that we don't need someone to be creative and a creative thinker, but a lot of times we'll post a role with content and social in the title and we get folks who are really, really strong creatives. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily what this role is. This is a strategy role. This is an operational role. This is someone who understands how to build a framework, provide direction to a team, and have them go and knock it out of the park. You know, if it's on a spectrum of fully understanding and embracing social or fully being a content strategist, this role is right squarely in the middle. And that's a lot of the roles at Filson, where we're a small team. And so, you know, it's a scrappy group who's figuring it out. So this person will have an opportunity to work in a lot of different spaces, including the distribution side of content with our agency. So from a paid media perspective and a paid social, that also sits under this role. as well as working with, I mentioned content contributors, but ambassadors as well. And then probably one of the more highly visible portions and pieces of it is working with our films side of the brand and the business. That has taken a bit of a hiccup and a slowdown with COVID, but in the last few years, we've produced a number of different pieces of content from a motion perspective, and that motion strategy fits with this role as well. So there's a lot of different things that fall under it. In terms of where that person sits in their career, you know, we're looking for someone who has at least 7 years of experience in social and content strategy, understanding paid social, distribution. You know, working in retail and outdoor is a plus for sure, but not a mandate.
Okay. How many people would this person be managing?
Three. The two content producers as well as the marketing coordinator.
Perfect. And then how big is your team altogether?
We have one person who leads our PR team, one person who leads our experiences team, and then the four people who sit on this team.
Great. Okay. That is a very lean team. Wow.
Yes. This is an exciting role as well. It's a digital marketing coordinator. This person will work closely with the senior manager, and they're going to work to really help move the operational side of the thing. So getting our posts up and out, understanding a calendar, understanding a production calendar, being able to have their hands kind of on the knobs and levers, getting all of our social and content up and moving and out the door. They will help with building blog posts for the journal. So WordPress experience is key. They'll also be in charge of reporting and helping us set metrics and KPIs and defining what those are. And they'll also work with content contributors in terms of getting content in and on deadline. So again, it's a pretty dynamic role across all three areas.
Very cool. And did you mention if the coordinator role will be sort of entry level?
Yeah, I would say it's someone who has maybe like 2 years experience, so probably not right out of school. Our goal is for someone to be able to come in and have a really strong working understanding of social platforms. Mm-hmm. And if we're starting if a social campaign and a paid campaign needs to go up and run, this person needs to be able to hit the ground running and go. So not someone who maybe hasn't ever done those things, but has the ability to work amongst different social tools. You know, we use a number of different platforms from Salesforce to Asana to Curalate. So there's a number of different social tools that we work with. So having that understanding and ability to quickly get in and help and add value right away is key.
Okay, awesome. What is the best way to apply for these positions? Like, are you okay with someone nudging you on LinkedIn? Would you rather people not do that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely fine with anyone reaching out on LinkedIn, especially after I said check your LinkedIn messages a few minutes ago. I would be a hypocrite if I said that. What I would say though is that they do need to apply online. So on our bottom of our footer of our webpage, you'll find careers and you'll find both jobs posted there. And then our really stellar HR and recruiting team will be going through those applications. So you're happy to reach out to me on LinkedIn for sure. But that plus the application online is where candidates will be able to get those submitted.
You're the hiring manager though, correct?
Correct.
So ultimately you will be making the decision, which is great. So we would love some insider info on what is going to catch your eye.
So Alex and I, like I mentioned before, our chief creative officer, will be working together to make sure we bring someone in to the team that really fits our culture, that really understands how to work with the creative team and at the same time, the business side of marketing and driving that. Resumes are fantastic, but they're never a great substitute for a Zoom conversation, as in-person conversations are difficult. But I think someone who really can demonstrate their understanding of the blend of content and commerce and social and how all three of those things work hand in hand and understands the nuance and creativity side of it, but doesn't necessarily have to be a creative person, so to speak. They don't need to worry about making the creative, but they do have to understand like what is Filson, what works for us, what works for the customer, and then how do we play with that? How do we change that? How do we not get static? And always finding ways to be dynamic. And so I think someone who has that ability to wear a lot of hats, who's really comfortable, talk a lot about being on the balcony, but also jumping and getting right down into the weeds. Everyone at Filson does that. Every director at Filson, even Alex as a chief creative officer, he is on the balcony thinking strategy, talking about 1, 2, 3 years out. But he is also, if needed, he is on the ground with us, selecting images for a catalog. And so I think somebody who hears that and that excites them versus it hears that and says, that's not really me. And that's okay. But what we need is someone who enjoys hopping off that balcony, getting right into the weeds, rolling up their sleeves, and then going back to sit in that strategy spot. Like that's a person who I think will do well at Filson.
Does everybody have a follow your energy mentality? Because I hear that in your responses a lot, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, I would say so. I think, you know, it's a really fun team. Like this morning, the marketing group got together, went for a hike just to kind of, you know, get outside, enjoy the fresh air. It was actually not raining here for once. And it was, you know, it was refreshing. And it's one thing where, you know, we miss being around each other. We you know, Zoom is great. And we've made that work for us in this unique environment. But we're a group of people who draw energy off each other and ideas. And I would say along those lines, that is something that the person who was in this role before, she was so good at, and we'll be looking for these roles to do the same, which is as a small business that's growing, as an entrepreneurial and startup mentality, we're always looking to maximize every investment, every partnership, everything we do. And so we talk a lot about, you know, while these roles and while team members have, you know, specialties, you know, be it events or PR or social, at our core, we're all marketers. We have to think like a marketer in everything we do. And so when someone's producing a piece of content on how to make your own camp chuck box, we need to be thinking like, well, this isn't just a great story. Would this be a great class? Would this be a great experience? Would this person be great in doing a series for us? What if we turned it into a podcast? And always thinking through every interaction and saying like, can we do more with this than what we're currently doing? And can we find ways, to create a number of on-ramps for customers or for new customers to discover the brand or to engage with us in different ways? And that's, I think, a bit of that entrepreneurial spirit where you're always hustling and always looking at something in multiple different ways or with different angles to understand how you can squeeze every bit of juice out of it. And that's where I think we get really kind of unique marketing, content, social experiences all rolled into one is when we start to do that. So I think someone who can naturally see that and they think that way is someone who will really, one, love their job and actually be really successful.
And how important would you say it is that somebody is coming with outdoor industry experience and even kind of a personal connection to the outdoors? Because a lot of what you're describing is really great marketing and creative skill, and somebody from a tech background might fit in really well at Filson based on what I'm hearing. So how important is that connection to the outdoors?
I think it's an advantage, you know, for someone who has that personal passion. I don't think it's a requirement by any means. We made a recent hire in a different department where the gentleman who took the role hadn't worked in the outdoor industry, you know, in the past, and he's an absolute, you know, get for us in terms of a hire and what his ability to think through things, you know. And so I think by no means is it like, oh, you haven't worked in the outdoor industry, then, you know, a quick no. That's not the case at all. I mean, I think it does probably help. You know, you have the ability to understand that audience a bit and what motivates them and what inspires them and what works with them. But I don't think you have to have worked in the outdoor industry for years to stand out. I look, you know, like along those lines, I look at like a lot of other brands in like, you know, the retail space or even in CPG and looking at what brands are doing there. You know, look at Starbucks just down the street from us. You know, while not an outdoor brand, it would be, you know, coffee's outdoor adjacent. I don't know how many ventures I've started that didn't start with coffee. And, you know, someone like in a brand like that or in a space like that, I think has an understanding deeply of like what their customers want, maybe what they want and don't know they want, how they connect with them in a meaningful way. Those are all values that could translate, you know, from the CPG space or the food and beverage space right over to the outdoor industry. And that's actually where say that I'm probably biased because before I worked in the outdoor industry and at the agency that I mentioned earlier, I was in the restaurant field. So I worked for a number of different restaurants on the marketing side of things and always believed that the kind of the values and the playbook from that world translated really well into CPG and into the outdoor space as well.
So that's a good lesson in how you can translate your skills from one industry to the next. If you think about it, the skill set is generally the same, you know, it's just a different target audience. potentially.
For sure.
Yeah. Anything else that you want to add, Doug, that we haven't touched on?
Awesome. Yeah. I think I would encourage people to, when they apply, I think great cover letter is always good in the sense that, and I don't mean in a cover letter in a narrative of your resume, like show examples, show some links, send some things over. Like, I think it's always interesting, and this is my own hot take, but I love seeing, I think when interviewing people for the creative team, it's great because they always have portfolios. And I think as marketers, we do ourselves the disservice of not keeping a portfolio. And it doesn't have to be fancy and really cool like you would see from a digital perspective with someone on the creative side. But if you've worked on killer campaigns, grab that article, grab that link, take that screenshot. I think those are really good ways to visually bring your background and your history to life, especially if it's not in the outdoor industry. Show something that's, you know, that we may not have seen before. I think too often people don't do that. And it's just nice, right? We're as humans, we react to like visual things and be able to see and watch and listen and learn or read. And it's a nice way to kind of bolster your background a bit.
That's a great tip. Yeah, because I would never consider not Googling somebody or looking at a portfolio before working with them in a creative capacity. And I totally judge people based on what they do for their own, you know, personal projects. And my website is gross right now. So I understand also like not having time for your own personal projects. But when you are applying for positions, that's when the traffic that you really want to impress is going to be going there. So I would say that's worthy of your time as well.
For sure. I think, and there was in a different role, someone had what I would call very straightforward, bare bones email that was like, here's what I've been up to in the last year that you might find interesting. And it was like bullet points. Here's what the project was titled. Here's kind of what I did on it. Here's a link to read an article. Here's the other one. Here's what I did on it. Here's a link to see it. It's still up. And I found that really interesting. Like, sometimes I think we overthink it as marketers. Like, oh my gosh, I don't have time. Yeah, yep. I can't make a portfolio, or how do I do that? Or I got to design a website. Her email was straightforward, to the point, 4 to 5 examples. I think there's one that was like what people are saying. And it had like some great customer reviews that were snapshotted in there. And so I think sometimes as marketers, or just as humans, we sometimes overthink it. And I would say like a bulleted email that's straight to the point that I can, you know, anyone could click and see and understand the type of work you've been up to is better than not sending something.
Mm-hmm. That is actually really elegant. And she just reduced a lot of friction for you and showed you what she might be like to work with too, which is fairly brilliant. So
yeah. 100%. Oh,
I'm writing that one down. Wow. Love it. Okay. So those were great tips. Doug, thank you so much for being here. We're going to put the links to both of those positions in our show notes, as well as the link to Filson itself. You've been so helpful. You've given us great insight into Filson and we really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I really enjoy being a member of Basecamp. And I think what you guys have out there in the community are building's killer. So thank you for continuing to create that.
Yeah. Thank you. So great to reconnect.
Thank you, Doug, so much for letting us know about Filson. I personally learned a ton. I was in that camp of, I've never really heard of Filson, but now I am super intrigued. I hope everyone else is as well. It's so great to know what the person that you'd be directly working with is like. So this interview was super helpful for anyone that wants to apply for these jobs. Pretty cool to know that your boss can pivot on a dime from working with Lil Wayne to an opt-out side campaign. So that's some great insight. If you do want to apply for those creative positions with Filson, outdoordreamjobs.com has the direct links, or you can go to Filson's website as well, as Doug mentioned. And please don't forget that the Basecamp newsletter has both a free version with jobs each week, and we get it, you're a job seeker. We understand completely not having the funds to pay for something additional. But if you do want a ton of extra positions, we're talking from like 10 jobs to closer to 80 jobs, plus events, plus networking opportunities, consider the Basecamp premium subscription, which is only $3 a month. That will save you hours and hours of work every month looking for positions, because they're going to come right to your inbox. I have done all of the work for you. We have made connections with HR managers. We're getting the newest, hottest jobs right to you, and it's $3 a month. And we highly, highly, highly recommend that you ask your friends and family for the subscription for a holiday gift if you're not sure what to ask for or if they don't know what to get you. Go to outdoordreamjobs.com. I'm going to put that in our show notes. But it's literally only $3 a month. Somebody get you a gift, or you can get somebody else a gift that's going to directly impact your job search. help you land your dream career and ultimately be one of the most fruitful gifts ever provided for years and years to come. Plus, like I said before, if you want somebody to be thinking about you every single week when they get this newsletter, you know, it's not a bad thing. We will be back next week with another amazing company. We're going to learn about their positions and we're going to find them some great candidates. And if you have any questions or if you have feedback, if we're doing something that you're like, oh man, I would listen to this podcast way more if they did XYZ, please tell us. We're both new to podcasting. Allie and I can figure most stuff out. Google's the best. However, our audience very much helps us guide where we improve and where we expand our services. So we would absolutely love to hear from you. We would love to know what brands you want to hear from, what types of roles you'd like to see more, and additionally, just technical stuff. Just shoot us an email. I promise you, I will be so happy to get that, and you'll be helping us out tremendously, and I will never forget you. So thank you so much for listening once again. Christmas is next week. That's pretty crazy, but we will be back in the studio, and yeah, have a great week.